Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Swinging a high drive into center field, hits at the wall, it is gone!
Swings and rips one to center field. It's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires. Swing and a miss, strike three, it's over! The Red Sox have won the World Championship!
All right, we're back. Play Tessie, episode 293. Remember to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Rate 5 stars. Follow us on all the socials at Play Tessie, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Sammy's here, Pat's here, Gordo's here, and if you're listening, that means the winter meetings are officially underway, which is the best week of the offseason, like this weird random week in December, right before the holidays, where things just randomly go down. I've never understood it. Like, we have texting, we have email, we have phone calls. Like, you can get in touch with people in the snap of the fingers, but for whatever reason, when they're all together in a big hotel complex, probably still using the texts and the phone calls and the Zooms, and probably not meeting much in person. Like, we know the crochet deal went down like with a text, but somehow, for some reason, the winter meetings is when these things go down. And so even though it makes no sense to me, I love it this way. I hope it never changes. I keep hearing some buzz that maybe it's not going to be as big of a winter meetings, but we'll see. Like, last year had Juan Soto, Garrett Crochet, Max Fried. So it was a big one. And so we're definitely going to get into some winter meeting stuff today, but we're also going to – we haven't talked about the latest Red Sox trade, which was horrendously timed for our podcast purposes. But before we get into that, fellas, how you guys doing? Haven't seen you in a little bit. Excited for the winter meetings, I'm sure.
Yeah, you said it. This is the best weekend, everything of the offseason. It does feel kind of strange when you think about all the modern ways of communication we have, but this goes to show human nature. You put people in a room, make them talk, things happen. So I enjoy the hell out of this. It feels like I have this cloud of positive anxiety, the fun anxiety that you look forward to surrounding me at all times, and you're just waiting. Personally, I'm waiting to get 17 texts from Gordo, because Gordo's got every notification on, which means I don't need to have notifications on, because Gordo will let me know the second something happens. Appreciate you for that. And I love it. It's my favorite thing. I think our podcast, the thing that we became known for was the off-season trades, the who says no. So this is our bread and butter. This is our time of year. I love it. Just waiting for that first domino to fall.
Credit me if you want, but I feel like in our group chat, the constant newsbreaker is Pat, because the second I see something, you guys are priority number two to me. Like, I go straight to the Twitter to tweet it out myself. Pat gets it in the group chat first. Pat, this is the all caps gate. It starts and it ends with Pat.
Is there a way to go into settings and just have cap locks automatically on? I'm gonna inspect. I'm gonna see if that's possible. But Gordo, going back to what you were saying, it's crazy because you would think between FaceTime, Zoom, text, email, everything, there would be no like designated dates to get deals done. But for some reason, when you can booty call GMs from the same hotel, shit gets done.
Maybe it has something to do with the fact that like fans put like more pressure on teams to get stuff done, and maybe teams hold out and wait on purpose to do stuff so that they can come away from the winter meetings with something in hand. I don't know. It truly boggles my mind that it's still like this.
You know, maybe it's kind of a cultural is not the right word, but just a business trope that everyone's kind of in the same boat. Like, this is when we do business. We are the GMs in Major League Baseball. This is when we make our big moves. You have to come in prepared. Like the Red Sox have 37 different starting pitchers that they can dangle in front of these teams now. They came to the winter meetings prepared. So I think that there's no real way to explain it. It is weird. The more you talk about it, the stranger it seems that there's this one fairly random, I guess you could say, week in the Major League Baseball offseason calendar, and it's when not all the moves, but a lot of the moves get done, especially last year. Last year was wild. This year, I wouldn't have the same expectation, but it's always fun. Like I just said, that cloud of anxiety, oh, you never know. Any moment of the day, something could happen.
The only difference between this and normal life is that we know that like you're not going to see like Brian Cashman sleeping in the streets in his sleeping bag. Like, you know, like, no, like they everyone will be working. No one's going to be taking time off. But let's get into the trade the Red Sox did make a little bit before we get into the winter meeting stuff. Like, we're going to talk about it all, like Bregman, Ketel Marte, Alonso. Like, there's been a lot of smoke on the Red Sox. We'll dive into what's real, what's maybe posturing, what we believe in, what we like, what we don't like. We're going to get into all that. But let's talk about the trade they did make first, which was one that kind of came out of nowhere, except for like that one random Twitter account that had it several hours before everyone else and now has deleted his account. Like Hoodie Wembanyama, shout out to that guy. Had the trade hours before, and my buddy sent it to me and he's like, there's no way this is real. I was like, no, he's got like 75 followers. But shout out to that guy. He was right.
It's probably like the relative of someone in it's a Pirates person because he referenced the Pirates, not the Red Sox, I assume. So it probably like, my guess is it's like a 17-year-old kid who got the scoop from like his uncle and then tweeted it. And then his uncle was like, what are you doing, Jimmy? You can't post that. And then he was like, I'm sorry, and deletes his whole account.
So what if there was, go ahead.
So I didn't think of that one. What I thought of was it's just some like minimum wage intern. And that this is just how the Pirates are going to do business. They're like, throw this on Twitter. See what the masses say. And if people are like, wow, that'd be a really good trade. I hope that happens. Like, oh, yeah, all right, we'll pull the trigger on that.
That's one of their signings is the minimum wage intern who leaks rumors for them. That's their big
yeah, exactly.
Go Pirates, baby.
And then they gauge Twitter responses. And they're like, oh, everyone seems to be a fan. Yeah, Ben, pull the trigger. And he's just like, all right, guys.
Ben, before you pull the trigger, let's consult Grokopedia. Make sure Grok thinks this trade is fair.
Ben, hang up the phone on Schwarber. They said you're a non-ball knower on Twitter.
So when the trade went down, one of the things I quote tweeted the dude's tweet and I said, like, who the F is this guy? And half the people thought I was talking about Oviedo. So you're not a ball knower if you don't know. Like, okay. All right. And then there was one guy in the comments who said, this was me last year with Crochet, and he sent the tweet and I did a little bit of digging. And he had like Julian McWilliams, our guy Julian, broke the Crochet deal. This dude's Twitter account tweeted it out like at least an hour before. Some of these accounts, like, they tweet random stuff, and like I'll have people tweeting at me multiple times a week that, hey, the Pete Alonso signing is done. You can tweet it just so you know. Like, look, just it's like the guy Mick from last year with the Soto. It's basically that all over again. But, like, just credit me when it's done. But I'm telling you, it's done. You never know which one of them eventually is real.
That is the cringiest thing when people try to be fake media. It's cool when someone actually gets it and they don't publicize it like this Hoodie Wembanyama. Jesus. When someone does that, it's pretty cool because that's just an example of like, wow, the age we're living in, these random accounts sometimes have scoops. But the people who lie and pretend to have scoops, like, what are you doing, dude? Go touch grass.
This is years ago. I was in undergrad of college, and I won't say any names, but someone that we all know, not in the baseball world, like a mutual friend kind of thing. It was Coop.
I was gonna say it's Coop.
It was not a burner. Like, he just had a Twitter account where he would just follow like all baseball accounts, so he could like have all baseball in one thing and like his own personal account, whatever. So there was one time I was like, dude, just for like shits and gigs, why don't you just throw out there that the Sox signed, I don't know, Garrett Richards for 1 year, $12 million. No bullshit. The next day, Garrett Richards signed the exact contract, and I was like, holy shit. Yeah, I swear. You could ask Coop about this. I swear to God.
That's the most random thing I've ever heard in my life.
I don't think you're lying, but I do have to get a second person to confirm this. That's wild. Okay.
Can we get, does the account exist still? Like, can we go back and
see? Yeah, let me see if I can find it.
Well, that's going to take some digging. We'll see if we can get a look at it. But let's get into the trade. Like, the Oviedo trade. Like, what do we think of Johan Oviedo? Like, this is a guy that's been around, like, it's a name that I feel like people don't know because A, he's a Pirate, and B, he's barely pitched in the last 2 years. Like, he had Tommy John, 6'6" body, big dude, increased the strikeout rate this year, multiple 10 strikeout starts in 2023. Like, this is a guy who people have been picking as like a possible breakout guy for a while. And he showed some signs at the end of last year when he came back, including a pretty good outing against the Red Sox, where the stuff looked promising, the fastball showed some new life this year. And to me, his biggest issue, obviously the injuries, especially the last 2 years, but the biggest issue is obviously the walks. Like, this is a guy who, did I write down this stat about the walks or did I text it? I think I just texted it to my friend. He had like an absurd amount of 3+ walk starts in each of the last 2 or 3 years he's pitched, but probably every year. I only looked at the recent years, but it's a guy with upside, but also, I mean, he has 2 years of control, and there's no guarantee that he's even in your top 3 or 4 starters. So it's a legitimate gamble by the Red Sox, and they gave up a good prospect and Justinson Garcia, the password, as well. I would say a consensus top 100 guy, but not necessarily a dude who I think people think has the highest ceiling. I see platoon thrown around with him, and maybe that's true, maybe it's not. I don't know, but They got a pitcher with legitimate upside. I'm not saying he's the number two. The Red Sox should not treat him like he's the number two. But I also saw some people when they made the trade, oh, this guy should go in the bullpen. No, this guy should not go in the bullpen. This guy, especially with the quotes from Bradfo from the next day in his article talking about how highly the Red Sox view him. But obviously, they're not going to trade the password for a guy that they think they're just going to toss in the bullpen, even though the Seattle Mariners also just traded a top 100 prospect for reliever. But that's aside from the point. If the Red Sox are trading the password for this guy, they clearly like him. There's obviously stuff to like. He's going to be in the rotation if he's healthy. And hopefully there's some things that they can work with him to make him more consistent, throw more strikes, and therefore be able to go deeper in games. I'm curious to see it. I mean, it's not necessarily the move I was expecting, but as long as it's treated like he's treated like he's in kind of that group of the back of the rotation as opposed to lock it in number two or number three, then by all means, like, I'm all for adding upside dudes to the glutton of starting pitching that they have, and hopefully they trade from it.
Glutton. It's a good glutton. I'll give my take on this. You guys might think I'm out of my mind for this, but I absolutely love this trade. First off, Johan Oviedo, absolute unit, listed as 6'6", 275. For reference, that's slightly bigger than Rob Gronkowski in his playing days. So that size gives him elite extension to go along with a fastball that sits at 95.5. He also shows two different breaking balls. He has a sinker and he's got a show me changeup, 27 years old. This is like if Andrew Bailey were a ceramic artist, Craig Breslow just gifted him a large sum of Yixing Suja, which is the most prized clay in the world. And now we get to see Andrew Bailey turned Johan Oviedo into a beautiful teapot. This is,
hold on,
awesome. I love this.
Did you know what that was before this podcast, or did you look that word up for the
I was thinking about it before we started recording, how much I like this trade. And then I asked myself, why do I like this trade so much? It's like you give it to a much lesser degree. It's kind of like when the Red Sox got Garrett Crochet, and now this pitching pipeline has this great piece of clay to mold. And it's the same thing with Oviedo. Obviously not the same as Crochet, but it's a little to a lesser degree. It's just such a exciting pitcher to work with. Everything you look for, and it's the kind of profile that the Red Sox have had success with. A guy who throws hard, big body, walks way too many guys. Chapman, just like that. Like, it's, I love this. And maybe I'm overreacting. Maybe I'm a little too high on Johan Oviedo and what he can become. But this is the type of move when the Red Sox built this whole new pitching infrastructure. This is the type of move that you thought you would see. They bring in a guy like this who, like you said, Gordo, a lot of people have thought that Oviedo is going to be a breakout guy. Hasn't done it yet. Health has been a big issue. But this is where you try it. Try it in Boston. You have this big pipeline. Let's see if it works. I can't get enough of this trade. The more I talk about it, the more I think about it, the more I love it.
I'm a fan because there was a huge logjam with Password. I was never incredibly high on Password. I think the hit tool is a little bit questionable. I think he's fine defensively. But you have Rafaela, Abreu, Roman, Duran. Campbell sounds like he's going to be an everyday outfielder. So there was really no room for Password to really feel things out at the major league level. He was always kind of expandable at this point. I did think that he was going to be a secondary piece and maybe a bigger deal. But more or less straight up for Johan Oviedo, it's interesting for sure because Oviedo has shown flashes of points. The stuff is legit. His big thing is command. If he can hone in the command, keep the velo, the off-speed stuff is awesome. The upside's there. I just question why Oviedo. I think they wanted a little bit more certainty. And now they have so much depth, which is not a bad thing, but so much depth that your hand is forced to move some guys, which, again, is not an issue. You're in a great spot if you can leverage that. But I am interested to see what they can do with Oviedo. Do I think he turns into a number two? No. Do I think he turns into a serviceable number four? Sure, yeah. But I think there's definitely some fine-tuning to do, some stuff under the hood to kind of fix up on. But the stuff is there, and he definitely has the potential to be something legit.
And the reason you can dream on it a little bit is because his flaw is obviously that he misses the strike zone. But when he throws in the strike zone, he gets swing and miss in there. So it's not like by throwing this guy or by having this guy throw more strikes, it's going to lead to a bunch of extra damage, maybe a little bit, because obviously more strikes, more damage. But it's not like he's a guy who's built his career off of getting swing and miss outside the zone, getting chase. Like, he gets swing and miss in the zone. And to Pat's point, you have all this starting pitching. And Pat, you talked about now you don't have the Password to use as a secondary piece in a trade. I think the Password is a type of guy where it's like some teams could like him, but some teams may not. Whereas the starting pitching the Red Sox have, the depth guys, like, not even talking about like the top three, four guys in the rotation, like the Cutter, Crawford, and below tier, all of those guys, like, even if you're not a huge fan of the guy, those guys are all minimum number five starters in Major League Baseball. And the Red Sox have double digits of those guys that can be used as secondary pieces in the trade. So I've seen some people complain, oh, like, to use the exact point that you use, Pat, I thought Password could have been used as a secondary piece in the trade. I think the Red Sox haven't given that up. I think they have just as many, if not more now, because I think the pitching can reach a wider variety of teams. So yeah, the outfield depth was there. Christian Campbell obviously probably going to play a lot more outfield this year based off their quotes. Password had a long road to get to the majors in terms of overcoming obstacles, but he's pretty close to MLB ready. I mean, his cup of tea or cup of coffee in majors last year was not very good, but clearly, I mean, based off of how he was performing in the minors, like, this is a guy who's ready for his shot, and he just wasn't going to get it here. So good for him getting a chance to do it there. And I am curious to see what the Sox can do with Oviedo. It's not a sure bet. Sammy, I'm curious to hear what you think, because you seem super high on the guy. Where do you think by the end of the year, not where is he going to slot in the Red Sox rotation, but when we look at Oviedo, do you, like, you think that we're going to say we see this guy as a what? A number what?
At the end of 2026?
Yeah, he's got 2 years of control at the end of this year.
Probably a 4 or 5. I'm not expecting the world out of this guy. I think the upside is huge, but there's a vast, vast degree of outcomes that he could have. I think that, like, realistically, he could be game four playoff starter at best, maybe in 2026. Like, we'll see what happens in the future. He's young. He's only 27 years old. He's finally fully healthy. But yeah, I'm not expecting anything crazy. I love the possibility. I love how many guys with high ceilings the Red Sox have. You have guys with low floors like Peyton Tolley, who, you know, he didn't really look good in the big leagues. He kind of freaks you out. But along with the low floor, crazy high ceiling. Then you have high floor guys like Connelly Early, who you feel good about pretty much no matter what, like what spot he has, like at least the number five starter upside to be better. It's just such a nice variety of young pitchers who could do so many different things. And they don't all have to pan out for this to be a big success. In fact, if half of them pan out, I'd be thrilled. Dude, Kyle Harrison was the number one left-handed pitching prospect in baseball a few years ago. He's what, 10th on your depth chart right now? And he's in his mid-20s? That's insane. And I am, you know, I still wish the Red Sox had a guy that we all agreed was your game two playoff starter, a number two starter, as we call it. But this is like the next best scenario when you just have so many upside guys. What are the odds that one of them doesn't click? Like, none of these guys being good, like, one of them will click. Hunter Dobbins, who pitched big innings for you, was good against the Yankees. What's he, 8th, 7th on your depth chart right now? Like, it's crazy. When you, Gordo, you tweeted it out. You tweeted out everybody. Maybe they don't blow you away after Crochet, but man, I think that we are going to be, there's so many questions that are going to be answered, and it's a different type of question than when I called the Red Sox question mark city, because we don't know who's going to play where. It's an exciting kind of like, who's going to hit? Who's going to be the success story?
Okay, you want the list? You want the list? This is all of the starting pitchers that the Red Sox have on the 40-man right now. So it doesn't, there's going to be guys, I'm trying to think, who's not on the 40-man that we all think is going to be potentially like a factor by the end of the year? They do have guys, but here's the list of the 14 guys. Now, Perales is there.
Yeah, he's on.
Who am I thinking of here?
Kyson Witherspoon?
Kyson Witherspoon, that's the answer.
Kyson Witherspoon.
Okay, Garrett Crochet, Sonny Gray, Brian Baio, Oviedo, Sandoval, Early, Crawford, Dobbins, Harrison, Tolley, Drohan, Sandlin, Uberstein, Perales. That's 14 names that are all starters, all on the 40-man. And guess what? You've got room for 5 in the bigs and maybe a 6-man rotation in AAA.
Your whole AAA rotation is going to be on the 40-man. And you probably got to move guys just to get everyone in the mix in AAA. So again, I'll say it again. I wish they had a number two starter that I loved. This is the next best scenario. Too many guys for this to fail.
Can I ask you guys a question? Do you feel, because when the trade was made, in my head, I was like, this maybe makes me feel better about them getting a number two because they have all this depth of starters. But then I've kind of settled on it. Actually makes me feel less good about them getting a number two, because I do think that they're going to use the depth of pitching to get a bat. And clearly they've got a lot of arms that they like. So yeah, I see the way they line up for a trade for a potential Ketel Marte, and the Diamondbacks are looking for pitching, and it's like, okay, the Red Sox have put themselves in a position to line up really well for a trade with the Diamondbacks. And now you've got guys like Crochet, Sonny Gray, Brian Baio, Oviedo's going to get a rotation spot. Cutter Crawford threw 30 starts for you 2 years ago. You got Sandoval, who they paid and is going to get a chance. You've got Connelly Early, who started a playoff game for you and was really good. Like, they've got a lot of guys for these spots. And unless they're trading multiple dudes from that kind of Baio and below tier that I just named, the guys that I named, then yeah, if you get a number two starter without trading those guys, like, you've got 5 no doubt guys in the rotation, and that's before you even get to Sandoval, to Early. Like, it's going to be too much. So I do kind of see it as more likely that they're going to use this to trade for a bat, though. I mean, by all means, not impossible, but it's like Sonny Gray has the floor that you'd want in a number two, and Oviedo's got the explosive, like the stuff that you want in a ceiling of a guy that you could dream on. It's like maybe the combination of those two is what they see as a number two. I don't know. To me, it's not what I want to see out of the rotation, but I hope I'm wrong. Like, I hope there's another shoe to drop in terms of the rotation. There's certainly another shoe to drop in terms of another trade. That we can all
agree. That's basically what the Oviedo trade made me think, is that there's another move coming, whether it's for a pitcher or a bat. I'm not sure. I lean bat, but the Craig Breslow, how many times has he surprised us? He hasn't even been the operative GM, whatever you want to call him, for that long. And the amount of surprise moves he's made, they're numerous. So, yeah, again, I think this is the next best case, is that you have so much depth that it's just a bit absurd. And I mean, who knows what happens with a guy like Oviedo, the beautiful, what's the clay that I Googled? Oh. Yixing Suja. Very yeah. fancy. He could be unbelievable. Who knows? He could also suck. We don't know. But if he sucks, next guy up. Here comes Conley Early. He already started a playoff game for you. Here comes Hunter Dobbins. You already feel really good about him. Oh, here comes Peyton Tolley. He's your number one prospect. Like, it's not an embarrassment of riches. It's just, like you said, Gordo, gluttonous depth. And I love that.
Dude, Pat just saw what I saw.
What happened?
That the Pirates have made an offer to Kyle Schwarber.
the same fee that they pay the intern to tweet out rumors.
God, we laugh. Oh, the offer almost certainly is for more than $100 million from the Pirates. Wow. Dude, that's crazy. Pat, you're muted.
I'm saying this now. They're going to swing and miss, like legitimately swing, not like 2 years, $40 million on Schwarber. Like, they're going to throw out respectable offers on so many guys. I will not guarantee, but guarantee they end up with like Luis Arraez and Gino Suarez.
It's like the boy who cried wolf. Like, they can say they want to compete all they want, make these offers. No free agent is going to believe that it's a long-term thing. So if you want to win, if you're a free agent who's not just like, I want my money, if you want to be on a team that's going to win, why would you trust the Pirates?
Yeah.
Also, question for you guys. Hypothetically, if the Pirates did land like Kyle Schwarber, for example, what would your reaction be?
I would hate it because it throws everything off. Like, think about it. If Kyle Schwarber goes to the Reds or the Pirates or the Orioles or whatever, now the Phillies are in the market for Bregman. If Kyle Schwarber goes back to the Phillies, they're not getting Bregman. You feel good about getting Bregman for a good price. If Kyle Schwarber goes to the Red Sox, then it's like, okay, they probably won't get Bregman back. They need him less, and the Phillies need him exponentially more, but you have Kyle Schwarber. If he goes to the Pirates, it messes everything up. Same thing with Pete Alonso. If he goes to like the Orioles, everything gets messed up.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, you could easily argue, oh, Bregman's still not a fit. Like, it's just the Red Sox and what, Tigers and Cubs right now. Like, they have Alec Boehm in Philly. They got to move him. Like, where's Bregman going to play? If he's at third, what do you do with Boehm? I hear what you're saying, Gordo. You're not wrong. My first reaction is I'd be thrilled for Pirates fans. It's like the most suffering fan base in any sport. And it's a great sports town. So, like, be happy for him at least.
Oh, I got to be happy for Pirates fans. Come on.
If they make the move after the Sox, sure, I'll be happy for them. But if they make it before, it's like if you're like ordering pizza for a party and you're a pizza short, someone's getting fucked.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores, or dsw.com.
Listen up, football fans, you won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
this wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Like, someone's getting the short end of the shaft. And it's hard not to just assume it would be the Red Sox if Schwarber goes to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, that's because that's just the way it's been, right? Yeah. Like a lot, every time with this team. But I do think they're going to spend money on a bat. Like every like Jeff Passan says it every time he drops an article. Ken Rosenthal says it every time he drops a report.
Pirates or Red Sox?
Red Sox.
Okay. Red Sox. Yes.
So I shouldn't be afraid, is what I'm saying. But I will be just because that's how it's been. Joe,
I do just want to put a cap on this Oviedo thing. By season's end, he is going to be our favorite Johan that's ever played for the Red Sox.
Wrong.
Yes. Yes.
Wrong.
Yep.
Wrong.
Let's make that clear.
He's going to be our second favorite Red Sox Pirates connection, Johan. But he can be our favorite that spells it with a J. I'll give you that, Joe.
I knew that's what you were going to say. I was like, he's going to say it's spelled differently, therefore it's different. Get out of here, Gordo. He's our favorite. He's our guy now.
It's an easier saying that me, Sammy, and Pat will call him the best Johan, and Gordo will still live in his fantasy world up there. But
I love Johan.
I wanted to hear Gordo defend it, or at least try to, one more time.
Is he under contract? Like, or is he a free agent, Johan Ramirez, or is he under contract with the Pirates? I'll have to find that out.
Pitching in the Uzbekistan league.
Let me see if he's on their 40 man. That's because he made it to the end of the season with them last year. So unless he was 6 years, then he would still be there. Yeah, he's still there. So he could have been in this trade and the Red Sox didn't ask for him.
Have the Sox had a Johan before?
Johan Ramirez, dingus?
No. But spelt J.
Oh. Well, they in my head, they had Johan Santana when I was a fifth grader. That was when I really got into following rumors. I needed that trade to happen, and it never did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't see any Johans unless we're forgetting someone obvious.
To get back to the Bregman and Schwarber whatever stuff, do you guys buy the Cubs thing on Bregman?
No.
Yeah, I do. Why wouldn't you?
Because they have been crying poor all winter. They don't want to re-sign Kyle Tucker. They have Matt Shaw at third base and Nico Horner off a really good year at second base. If it seems weird to me. And also, not for nothing, the fact that that report and then the Red Sox interest in Bo Bichette and then the Red Sox interest in Ketel Marte drop on back-to-back days right after the Bregman Cubs. This is what I was talking about at the beginning of the show, like what is posturing. I don't know what's real because I don't think Alex Bregman's market is as big as he would want it to be. And they drop the Cubs thing and the Red Sox will be like, okay, like we can go after Bo Bichette. We like Bo.
Yeah.
He's younger than
you're
you.
Gonna go to you're going to go to Chicago? Well, we're going to go for Bo Bichette, so we don't care. See ya. Yeah, it could be, Gordon. I mean, that's the thing is it's there is a lot of posturing going on. I love how people, if they don't like a rumor, they're just like, well, that's fake. But if they do like it, they're like, I buy that. If it's that time of year. But yeah, I don't know. I think that Bregman's a fit with the Cubs. Great ballpark fit, of course. Any hitter at Wrigley's a good fit. Matt Shaw wasn't fantastic for them in 2025, so maybe they want to win now. I don't know. I could see it.
Sammy, on your point, that's my biggest pet peeve, is when people don't like a report and then they go after the reporter. Like when people didn't like that the Red Sox reportedly have a budget, so they went after Sean McAdam. Last year, they didn't like that that Devers considered asking for a trade, so people went after McAdam, and it was real from the jump. It's just like they didn't like the report, so kill the messenger.
Yeah. Oh, perfect. I was just going to say, don't kill the messenger. It's just people who, like, they don't understand how journalism works. If the reporter is writing a column, you can attack them if you don't agree with them. Fine. But if they're reporting on something that they were told, unless it's blatantly false, then don't shoot the messenger. It's their job.
Yeah, because like my thing is, the one guy you can very easily point to is John Heyman. Because if Heyman tweets out, like, Cubs have interest in Bregman, like, my ass, bro, like all this. But then if he tweets out that they're interested in Ketel Marte, it's like, there's more smoke. It's going to happen. Like, right. It's, you can't just like pick and choose. Like, it's either you're all like anyone not named Passan, Robert Murray, like those two specifically. I just like, I kind of take it as like a passing glance. Like, okay, like, glad that's out there. I take it everything with a grain of salt. Like, you have to at this stage in the game. But going back to the Cubs thing, the reason I say no, they had Matthew Boyd and Shota Imanaga as their one and two starters this year. They need starting pitching so bad, and they do cry poor.
Yeah.
And on top of that, Matt Shaw was actually decent.
He was good at the end. He got good.
In the first half, he played 63 first half games, 63 second half games. First half, he hit 198 with a 556 OPS. In the second half, he hit 260 with an 840 OPS.
There you go.
While playing legit good defense at third base.
Yeah. And like, I keep seeing that, oh, they could move him to second base, but it's like, Nico Horner was good too.
Yeah.
Like, what are they just going to? And I know they wanted to trade Nico Horner a year ago, but Nico Horner was also coming off a worse. Am I right on that? I think Nico Horner was coming off a worse year.
Yeah.
He was definitely better this year than he was last year.
Yeah. I didn't realize how good Shaw was. A three war player. That's pretty solid. But then again, you could use him as a trade piece. And Pat, the one thing about the Cubs pitching is their ace also got hurt early on and he's back.
Yes.
What happened?
Nico Horner was a six war player this year.
Yeah.
Oh,
yes. He's great. Hey, he's really good.
No. I knew. No. Like, I love and I appreciate Nico Horner. I did not know he was a six war player.
How do you get to six war hitting seven home runs? That's nuts.
Middle infield defense.
Yeah, he does crush it on defense. At second base, though, it's not even like a shortstop, but whatever. Shout out Nico
That's
Horner.
Absurd.
Yeah. No, it doesn't make sense to me. I want to get to something, Pat. Pat, you mentioned people hating that Heyman reports that the Cubs are in on Bregman and calling it bullshit. But then when he reports the Sox in on Marte, they like that and they buy it. The thing that was interesting to me about Heyman reporting the Red Sox being in on Marte, you guys correct me if you disagree, or just tell me if you disagree. To me, I think if the Red Sox get Ketel Marte, and I do think it's definitely worth talking about the Marte fit more so than before, because today alone we had the Bob Nightingale connection, we had the John Heyman connection. But I found the Heyman one even more interesting, because you're right, he's a Boris mouthpiece. We know that. Everyone knows that. The Red Sox being interested in Marte is not something that Scott Boris would feed him. The Red Sox being interested potentially in Alex Bregman's replacement, that doesn't help Scott Boris. So Heyman got it from someone else. Obviously, it's a trade candidate too. So yeah, I found it interesting that A, it came from multiple people, and B, that it would come specifically from him.
It doesn't have to be Bregman's replacement. Could also be Marcelo Meyer's replacement. You never know how they feel about him.
I would listen, Marte is super good. But if you're I mean,
here's the thing. If the Red Sox deem Marcelo Meyer not worthy for a starting spot on the 2026 team, no argument from me. We've been saying that the window is open for 2026. If they're like, he's not ready, okay, give me a veteran who is ready. That is fine with me. It doesn't mean you're punting his career. There's also the chance that they trade him. You never know.
Well, that's
my issue. My issue with that is that gets dangerously close to the vicious cycle they've been in for the past 15 years. They build a super competitive aging roster.
So yeah, I'm just agreeing with what you're saying.
Oh yeah,
your hand thing.
They're building a super competitive aging roster. So then 3 years from now, you have 35, 36-year-old Ketel Marte, 34, 35-year-old Alex Bregman. And then you're basically just stuck in this, who DHs, whose contract do you have to eat? Like, there has to be some form of, like, continuous growth. To me, if they're moving Marcelo for Ketel, and I've kind of changed my stance on Ketel, I am on board if it also means, like, in Alonso. I'll leave it there. But to straight up move Marcelo, actively make your team older and kind of shorten your long-term window for a shorter, more open window, if that makes sense. I don't love it. I just don't.
I don't know if that's a fair way to characterize it, because Marte's not making a ton of money. It's not like you're getting a $25 million player who's going to hamstring your payroll. Plus, you have guys like Story coming off the books. You're going to have Hicks off the books in a few years. You're going to have Sandoval off the books. Like
Yoshida.
It's not. Yeah, Yoshida. Jesus. Buried the lead there. But it's not. I agree, Pat. You're not wrong. I just don't know if it's to that extent.
But so real quick, he will be a $20-plus million player. The way his contract structured, it's 16 this year, 12 the next year. His age, 34, 35, 36 seasons are 20, 22, 22.
But that's not, like, the thing is, especially as you move further, like, that's not going to kill you. To me, it's just, I keep coming back to the same thing. Why do the Diamondbacks want to trade this guy? Like, he is unbelievable. He's been unbelievably good. Like, he's not just coming off a great year. He's coming off three straight awesome years, a down year before that, and an awesome year before that. Like, this is one of the premier players in baseball. Why do the Diamondbacks, who have this guy under control and are in a position to win, why do they want to trade him? And it, to me, it all just goes back to the issues that they had with him last year on the All-Star break, where Perdomo was begging the media to let him be. But clearly there were issues there. And I know he's got 10-5 rights coming up. If he's on the team through April next year, he's going to get 10-5 rights, a.k.a. he can reject trades to any team. He gets full no-trade clause when you have 10 years of service in the majors and 5 years of service with your current team. So I get that. But if this guy were the premier building block of that team, which his numbers suggest he should be, then there would be, in my opinion, no interest from the Diamondbacks in trading him. So if he is brought in, my question is, how are you going to get a better result from Ketel Marte, the person, than the Diamondbacks seemingly are getting?
Hey, that is a totally valid concern, especially after what we just went through with Rafael Devers. To answer your question, just to be toxically positive, different market, no longer quote-unquote his team anymore. That could be a factor. But you have to consider that. The Red Sox clearly care about it. So
they traded Devers.
Like, it makes no sense why the Diamondbacks. It's like when we spoke about Cole Reagans and the Royals. Makes no sense why they would want to trade him. This one makes no sense, but it's not like these guys are idiots. It's like, what do you know about this guy? What was that smoke last year in Arizona about Ketel Marte, the person? Have to consider that.
And it doesn't mean don't trade for the guy, but you gotta ask these questions. It's not even like you're just trading for the guy. You're trading for the guy for the next half decade.
My other thing too, with any trade involving Marte, the reason I want the counter to be Alonso is because if you get Ketel, that more than likely indicates Bregman is gone, which cool, whatever, fine. You need a veteran to keep Marte even keel, to be a leader alongside Story, to just kind of dump that on Marte without really any other options. I feel like it's kind of crazy with his history. We don't really know much about his history. Just, you know, Alonso is a guy who's led a clubhouse and with the Mets. He's respected around the league. He's an adult. Like that, it's both a roster construction thing, a clubhouse thing, and a leadership thing. That is why you need a secondary move with Marte, because if it's Marte alone, that scares me, because Bregman was the anchor in that locker room. Story is too, but Bregman was a whole different animal. You need someone like a Bregman to lead that locker room.
Well, also not for nothing, if it's Marte alone, like Alex Bregman was really good for the Red Sox last year. Like if you want to say that Marte is an improvement offensively, you'd be right. He is a better hitter. Obviously, he's not going to bring he's going to bring far less of the intangibles that Alex Bregman brings to the team. And you could make the argument that Marte in, Bregman out is kind of swimming in place. I think they need a secondary move no matter who they add this offseason. To me, the frustrating thing is if I'm getting Marte, you're right, Pat. Story is the right now he's the undisputed leader of this team. Like it was him, it was Bregman, it was Rob Refsnyder, it was Jaren Duran who might get traded. Like there is some uncertainty atop the clubhouse in that with the Red Sox right now. The thing is, Pete Alonso, even though he's a veteran presence, by all accounts, a really good dude, I don't think that he is quite the respected leader that Alex Bregman, and I'll throw Kyle Schwarber in there, is. But the issue is if you get Marte, unless you're trading Marcelo Meyer, you can't keep Bregman. And I also don't I think Kyle Schwarber is probably going to be the most expensive AAV out of him, Alonso, and Bregman. So also adding Marte at an 18-ish, $19 million AAV, it would be a stretch to think that the Red Sox will then pay the highest AAV guy of those three free agents as well. So that's where the fit, like, unless they're going to spend more money than I think they will, and that's been reported, the fit is interesting. But like with a, for a guy like Marte, maybe you just make it happen, but you'd need some adults. Rob Refsnyder would need to be back here. Another guy would need to be signed. There would need to be an infrastructure in place.
So Ketel Marte, just if you're not super familiar with him, here's his numbers from 2025. He was about a 4.5 WAR player in less than 500 at-bats. He had 480, 28 home runs, hit 283 with an 893 OPS and a 145 OPS plus while playing above average, not elite, but above average defense at second base. So that is a monster player. And that is, in my opinion, easily the best second baseman in Major League Baseball. I know we just talked about Nico Horner's WAR being higher, 6.1 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
I'm taking Ketel Marte every day of the week. I'm sorry.
100%. And if you stretch out his WAR for 162, 5.7 WAR if Marte played all the games. So
give me the bat, dude. Give me the friggin' elite hitter who also, it's not like he's a bad defender either. I think 74th percentile outs above average, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Like that's that's good.
He does get hurt. The injuries have been a problem for him all throughout his career. So that's a thing too. But also, if you have Marcelo, who's very flexible, can play all, they say all four, but at least the three leftmost infield positions, like you've got options if he gets hurt. You've got Christian Campbell. Like there's the Red Sox probably are better positioned than most, if not every other team, both in terms of offense and starting pitching. For if a guy goes down, like they will have guys that can fill in.
Has anyone tweeted that at you guys yet? How about trying Marcelo at first base?
Oh, midseason.
Have had multiple people though, when I bring up Marte and kind of what it would look like, what I would want. I would rather, Jim, just go for Fernando Tatis.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I would too, man.
Not happening.
It's like Sohei.
It's like when we have a Who Says No. When we do a Who Says No and Peyton Tolley's in it and someone's like, switch Tolley with Kyle Harrison and then I do it. Like, no way, bro. Really? You're hired.
Yeah, you're the GM now. What did you guys think of the Pete Abe thing about Alonso telling his friends that the Sox are high on his list? That moved the needle at all for you and your brains?
No. I mean, I gotta hear his wife pronounce the town that she's from. That'll determine. If she says Quincy, then Boston's not high on the list. If she says Quincy with a Z, then he's basically on the Red Sox already.
Is she from? Is that where she's from? She's from Quincy.
Ugh, Gordo, what are you from? You're not from here.
Massachusetts, kid.
She's from Quincy.
Shout out the Warriors.
You better never show your face around Quincy ever. But yeah, I mean, I think the Red Sox naturally would be high on his list. Great ballpark fit. Team that's contending. Not far from the Mets. He doesn't have to do a big cross-country move is what I'm saying. His wife is from here. Sure.
Big market.
Why not?
A lot
of attention. I don't think it means much. I believe it, but I don't think it means much at all. I mean, we're talking about a guy who's going to get a contract of like what, $150 million? I think that's a bit more important, more than that, 200 to something.
Way less. This is what moved the needle for me. This was going to be my point.
Wait, what do you think he's going to get?
20. I think 120.
Yeah, oh, okay. 110-ish. Yeah.
I thought when you were shaking your head.
No,
you were,
no, no,
I thought
no,
you were
no,
saying,
no.
I was like,
no,
all right.
No.
250?
300?
You guys don't think he'll get 150? I feel like he can get close to that.
Sammy, let me read. I don't know. Did you see the Joel Sherman quote? This is part. I mean, I already thought he wasn't going to get that much. I definitely didn't think he was going to get the 6 or 7 years he was asking for. But this is what moved the needle for me, more so than Pete Alonso telling friends that he wants to be on a big market team that has a clear-cut need for him and is going to be really good for the next half decade. Like, of course he wants the Red Sox. This is from Joel Sherman over the weekend. An AL official said, and this is about Pete Alonso, an AL official said, quote, "I don't think length is out there for Alonso," end quote. A veteran agent offered, quote, "No one is giving him 5 years. He would be lucky to get 4. And that will likely come with a lower AAV and a whopper of deferred dollars." So yeah, like this is why I think maybe he gets like 110, 115 mil with some deferred money. Like, I don't think a team, even in a short-term deal, is giving Alonso 30-plus mil. And this is why the Red Sox should be all over it and why they should be able to afford getting Ketel Marte and Pete Alonso.
That's big, though. I mean, if he's not getting more than 5 years, then no shot he's getting 150. So I was like, are you guys nuts? You're shaking your head at 150? He's not getting
crazy
200 well, million like, for a first baseman like Pete?
If that's true, then if all it takes to get you like over the edge in terms of like becoming the front runner in Alonso negotiations is like 5 years, 115, you do that comfortably. You do it comfortably. The AAV won't kill you. The 5 years puts him at, what, 35, 36, will be DHing by then. Like, you live with that 10 times out of 10, especially if the market for him is, like, 4 years max. You just extend yourself five for a modest AAV, nothing crazy.
I think Pete's going to get less than Schwarber, which I think is pretty consensus at this point. But at the beginning of the offseason, if you told me that, I would have been surprised just by the age factor.
More what? More money or more years?
More total money.
What's the age difference? Okay, Schwarber's going to turn 33 soon-ish. He's turns 33 in March. And Alonso, I mean, I don't think they're that far apart in age. To be totally candid, I thought Schwarber was a little older than that.
Oh, yeah, happy birthday, Pete Alonso.
Yeah, hey! I just realized. Happy birthday, your value just went down.
He turned 31 today, so he is a little... When did you say Schwarber turns 33?
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
March 5th.
So he's almost 2 years younger, and yet I think he's going to get less, which I feel like should be a surprise, but I think he's going to get less. And I think it's kind of, I feel like everyone's saying that at this point. I don't think it's a hot take.
Do you think we should apologize or give condolences to baseball players when they get a year older, like we do, like you do when guys retire?
Yes, if they have not gotten a big payday to that point. So, like, especially for a guy like Jaron Duran, who, if he were a free agent today when in his 20s, he's going to get a bag, but he's going to be a free agent. What is it, like 32?
Yeah.
Like, condolences to Jaron Duran every birthday he has.
Sorry, man. Sorry, it's your birthday again.
But the thing is,
sorry, like, you only made $30 million in the big pal.
The thing is, even like funerals come with receptions. Like, there's food and stuff, so we could still, you know, give him a cheese board and bagels.
Dude, you just sounded like a guy that you meet in college that has like the rug on the wall, and he's like, "Bro,
Even funerals have receptions. There's no reason we can't party.
God. Joe?
Tapestry.
I can't tell. Is that an emo quote that Gordo just gave, or is that a hippie quote?
That could be totally like a My Chemical Romance lyric.
I was going to say introspective stoner, but
that's where I was going with it.
You could go any which direction with that.
Gordo goes to wakes and funerals and says, wow, you guys really put the fun in funeral.
I'm Will Smith in Wedding, or sorry, Will Ferrell in Wedding Crashers. He crashes funerals, right?
It's
been a while since I've seen that one.
Yes.
That's great, Ferrell, Gordo. Yeah. Growth.
Before we get to Nuff Said, do you put any stock in the Joel Sherman report of the Red Sox being one of the teams interested in Michael King? Because I don't think I do.
No.
I don't think they have the money to spend that on a starting pitcher. Doesn't mean they're not necessarily in, but I just don't think he's going to end up here.
That's what I was going to say. Like, when I saw that, I just went, yeah, he's a good pitcher and they need pitching. Of course, they are interested in him. Will they sign him? Probably not.
Yeah.
But he is a local guy.
That would be, for me, like step four of like plan C. Like if they're able to trade for a bat, trade Duran, like free up money, maybe move a sheet. Like there's four or five dominoes that have to fall for that, to me at least, to happen. Like it's, yeah, no shit. Michael King's a great pitcher. He's local. They probably would like him in certain circumstances.
Real quick, before we go to Nuff Said, a lot of smoke around Mackenzie Gore, people going as far as saying he will be traded during the winter meetings. Where do you guys think he gets moved to?
Chicago.
They traded Soroka to Chicago last year. Those two clubs have traded. I like that prediction, Pat. I'll join you there.
Cubs have a good farm too.
Yeah, and that could be how they spend money on a bat, is if they trade for Gore. If they trade for Gore, then we can start having the conversation about Bregman and the Cubs. I'll give you that.
Yeah. Like if they move like Alcantara, Casey, or you know, a couple top 10 in their system.
If they move Nico Horner, then we'll be shaking in our boots.
Matt Shaw carries the flame. I think Mackenzie Gore to like, I could see Phillies.
What?
Philly?
What's he laughing at?
No, I'll tell you later. Phillies?
I could see Baltimore. No, I feel like Philly's got their starting pitching's in a good spot. I could see Baltimore.
Baltimore is a thousand Matt Shaws.
They've got tradable pieces. They need to get a big starting
Ranger.
Pitcher.
They're getting Ranger Suarez. That's my big prediction. Him or Framber.
Just had another thought on Michael King. Another reason why I don't think it's real. If they wanted to pay Michael King $20+ million, they would have done that and not traded for Sonny Gray. That's my There you go.
All right.
Enough said. Before we get out of here, I've got a couple. So maybe I could go first and last.
Sure, go for it.
Okay, first one is just farewell Cooper Criswell. The Red Sox little maneuver to try to keep him did not work, and he's going to the Mets. And he was a pretty useful pitcher for the Sox last couple of years. Made some big starts. The start against the Astros this year was freaking awesome. That start absolutely rocked. Way better as a starter than a reliever. Say that again, Sammy.
He out-dueled Hunter Brown that day. That was awesome.
Yeah, he did. He would have been starting pitcher number 15. Although I guess he wouldn't have been on the 40 man, but like, yeah, just good for him to get an opportunity elsewhere. Cause he should get an opportunity as a depth starter or at least a swing man next up on the rotation. It would have been tough here. Sammy,
what's his jersey number?
64.
Nice. Wow.
Okay, hey,
that was good.
All right. Who wants next? Sammy, you got anything? Oh, finger up. Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Pat. Mine's not.
I was pointing at Sammy cause I'm thinking,
Oh, okay. Just want to give a shout out. One of my old coworkers, Ong La and Sung, his friend and training partner, Joshua Van, won the UFC flyweight championship on Saturday night, which is sick. So congrats to Ong and his team, and congrats to Joshua. I just thought that was awesome seeing my guy get a big W like that. Well, be in the corner, be in the training camp. get the W. Really cool. Yeah. Those guys worked their asses off.
Hell yeah. Shout out.
Brother Ong.
So I spent my Sunday how I always do.
You didn't send me your picks. You were supposed to send me your picks.
Oh, all right. I got you. I got you next week.
Set a reminder.
I'll send them. Yeah. I'll send. But I spent it how I normally do. Meet all my buddies. Go to my buddy's house. We just rot, watch Red Zone all day. The Bills-Bengals game occurred during some pretty substantial snowfall. And it just made me think how excited I am for a snowy playoff game at Gillette this year and just playoff football. I don't know what it is, but for some reason, it's like when all the guys are wearing long sleeves, the turtlenecks in October during playoff baseball, a snowy football field and just a good, high-scoring, entertaining football game, it's the best, and I cannot wait.
I was going to the grocery store the other day, and it was not that bad, like 20-something degrees, but, you know, windy, so it felt really cold. And I was just thinking, how does a team from, like, California or Florida come up to New England in the playoffs and even survive playing outside in the, like, it gets so fucking cold in Foxborough and it's windy. It sucks being out there. It's fun. Usually you have a beer blanket on you when you're out there in the stands, but like, I can't imagine spending 5-6 days in Florida practicing outside and then coming up here and not being like, I hate my life. This sucks. I can't wait to leave.
Oh, I mean, realistically, they could host the Chargers, their first playoff game.
Like, dude, that's what they used to do. They used to host the Chargers in the first round every year.
It could happen this year.
Yeah. They would freeze their asses off, and the Pats would just trounce them. Goodbye.
Joe?
I'm sorry. Sammy, you went to the Chargers? You have to go to the Colts, man. Those Colts games were the one. Peyton Manning, a dome team. Everyone knew the minute he landed in Gillette that Teddy and Rodney and Ty Law would have their lunch that day.
Yeah.
I can't believe I made the older reference.
No way. The Chargers one's older. I was thinking of LaDainian Tomlinson when he would talk all that trash and then he'd
Peyton
freeze.
Manning went in 2003.
The Chargers is old and new because the
Tomlinson
Pats beat
was
the Chargers.
2006.
The Pats beat the Chargers. Oh, they whooped their butts in the last Super Bowl run. Like, I thought they were going to lose that game and they won by how many points? It was like 20 plus point victory.
Regardless, point is, I don't get how teams from domes, like Joe said, or friggin' Florida, California, the South, wherever, where it's hot, come up here and even try. And they show the friggin' temperature on the scoreboard at Gillette. They're like, it's 13 degrees. It's colder than you think. You're dying. You're actually dying.
And reference the Colts, not the Chargers.
Colts and Chargers and, you know, whoever. Miami. Good luck.
Yeah, if they ever get back to the playoffs. They're not dead this year. They look pretty good today. My second enough said is that I cannot believe that Jeff Kent is a Hall of Famer. And I cannot believe that Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens still not only are not Hall of Famers, but continue to not even get remotely close. Like, they are never getting it. They're not even eligible to get back on any kind of ballot until 2031. Like, these are certainly, to me, the greatest hitter of all time and potentially the greatest pitcher of all time. And if not the greatest, the top five starting pitcher of all time. Say what you will about the steroids. My thought process is just that the person going to the Hall of Fame should be the judge and jury. And it's not anyone else's job to withhold history from future generations of baseball fans. It's an event that happened. Steroids saved the game of baseball. And yeah, I just think that the greatest players of all time should be in the Hall of Fame. So, and Jeff Kent should not be. So, that's just me.
Two things. Ty Cobb did a lot worse things and said a lot worse things than doing steroids, in my opinion. And he's in the Hall of Fame. So, character also, clause, like...
Yeah.
Yeah. Not for, a lot of bad guys.
Yeah, and not for nothing. There are definitely steroid users in the Hall of Fame already. There are.
I mean, I think there should just be like a steroid era wing or something. It's supposed to be a museum.
Exactly.
Second comment. I know you're not happy about Jeff Kent getting in. My first thought was,
oh my God, the odds of Pedroia getting in just went up a lot.
Yeah.
Because their stats side by side, very close in their prime at least. So, well, I think the Hall of Fame is kind of dumb the way they operate. It would be cool to see Pedroia get in because you know that has to mean a lot to him.
Yeah. It's like I'm going to put Pedroia on my fake ballot purely from my heart. Like I promise you I'm not being objective when I put him on there, but Jeff Kent literally gets in. It seems like cause he won one MVP. Pedroia won one MVP and did a hell of a lot more after that. So
I think he'll mention you if he gets in, if Pedroia gets in, you think he'll thank you Gordo
for your ballot? For my ballot that didn't count. He will.
The one that really threw me is dude, Carlos Delgado should be in the Hall of Fame.
He should be, dude. He didn't even make the 10 years on the real ballot. He got booted instantly, didn't he?
So he has there's a 10 war difference between Jeff Kent and Carlos Delgado. Jeff Kent played a semi-premier defensive position at second base. Delgado, you know, first base, whatever. Delgado has hit 100 more home runs. It has 10 hundredths of a lower batting average than Jeff Kent. Two-time All-Star, three-time Silver Slugger, Major League Player of the Year, Clemente Award winner. If Jeff Kent is getting in, Delgado absolutely should have been in.
Carlos Delgado was on the Hall of Fame ballot for 1 year. He didn't even get the 5%. That's ridiculous. He is a Hall of Famer. He should be a Hall of Famer, Pat. You're right. He got 3.8% of the vote. If you get below 5%, you're kicked off. That's nuts.
Jeff Kent looks like a statey.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit.
You know how fast you were going?
Congratulations to Jeff Kent and condolences to Barry Bonds. That's how we'll end this show.
Condolences to Pete Alonso for getting older.
Condolences to Pete Alonso for not signing before his 31st birthday. He just lost $10 million. All right, that's going to do it for episode 293 of Playtesty. Remember, hit that subscribe button wherever you get your podcast. Rate 5 stars. Tell us who's on your Hall of Fame ballot in the comments. Follow us on all the socials, at Playtesty, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. The winter meetings are going to be going on all week long. We'll be ready. If there's a need for an emergency podcast, like we'll be here. If not, we'll be back on Tuesday morning with winter meetings talk. I'm sure there's going to be rumors galore. Follow my Twitter if you want every report, because I'll just be all over everything. So, Wednesday morning. Thank you, Joe. Wednesday morning, we'll be back, unless there's an emergency podcast on Tuesday. But that's going to do it. Remember to follow us at Playtesty on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. For Sammy, for Pat, for Joe producing, it's Gordo here for Playtesty episode 293. Thanks for tuning in. Peace.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.